Good morning to everyone on the platform, Chair. We're correct. Shall I proceed with
recording in progress?
Roll call, Chair.
Yes, you may. Thank you.
Chair, Ms. Muadze.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, colleagues and present.
Good morning.
Chair, Mr. Malamatia.
Morning, Chair. Morning, colleagues and present.
Good morning.
Chair, Mr. Mumbuyani.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. I'm present. Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Chair, Ms. Mutahun. Chair, she's on the platform, Chair. Mr. Thring.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues.
Good morning.
Chair, Dr. Tswaku.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everyone. I'm here in the platform. I haven't been feeling well, but I'm back now.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Chair, Mr. Mulder, Chair.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, all. I'm present.
Good morning.
Chair, Mr. Cuthbert, Chair.
Morning, Chairperson.
Good morning.
Chair, Prince Burns Ngamasi, Chair.
Molo Salo Namalungu Abekekileyo.
Good morning.
Chair, that's all members on the platform, Chair.
Thank you. Can we have the agenda, please? Thank you very much. Can we just see from the committee if there are any apologies?
Chair, we have an apology from Mr. McPherson, Chair, who's on party business. He submitted it last week already. Thanks.
Yes, I saw
only
that.
Only apology. All are present, Chair.
Thank you. Then can we have a mover and a seconder for the adoption of the agenda as tabled? Members, we need to adopt our agenda.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I move adoption of the agenda
as tabled. Yeah, thank you, Honorable Mbuyani.
Chairperson, good morning once again. I support the proposal for the adoption of the agenda. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So our agenda being duly adopted, today we will look at and consider as the Portfolio Committee the first draft of the Budgetary Review and Recommendation Report. Thank you very much. Committee Secretary, can you take us through, please?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we are looking at the first draft of the Budget Review and Recommendation Report, Chair. Chair, just to state up front that the focus of the report is on the DTIC's annual report, Chair, going forward. Chair, we distributed the report to members yesterday, and we requested that members submit concluding remarks on the matter, and we've received from this morning from the African National Congress and from the Democratic Alliance some inputs which we'll speak to later during the process, Chair. Chair, just to proceed, Chair, with the introduction, it's a introduction that will be developed later, Chair, and we will include that before the final adoption of the BRRR report on the matter, Chair. Chair, Mr. Cuthbert raised his hand, Chair.
Cuthbert.
Thanks very much, Chair, and sorry to interject, Andre. Chair, we've obviously submitted our inputs as parties. Could we not consider this report itself to be read and move to the concluding remarks and recommendations? Because we would have all had to have considered the report in order to develop concluding remarks as well as recommendations. So I think we kind of, duplicating the effort that would have been done in the report prior. That's fine with you, of course, and other members.
Yes, let me see if there's any opposition to that proposal that you have worked through as parties, the 41 pages of the report, and that we can go straight to conclusions. Is there any opposition to that proposal from Honourable Kafka?
Madam Chair.
Honourable Swaku.
No, thank you very much, sir. No, sir, I'm still actually going through that. I apologize. And I think I said, I didn't even ask Andre that, just to request that, can I just later today include my, put my my recommendations or, yeah, because it's been a very long report, so I've been going through it line by line and see all the stuff, but I've not, like, you know, I've tried to really conclude it, but I haven't really been able to do that. So I've asked the chair for indulgence and maybe at least just give me a bit of time, then I'll submit it. It actually went to our researchers as well.
Okay. Tell me, committee secretary, would it be fine for the EFF to hand in their conclusions by the end of business today?
Chair, nothing prevents that, Chair, because the committee only will finally consider the report next week, and if we receive it today, Chair, we will then distribute the concluding remarks as part of the final report for members to take it to the caucuses. So all members will see the input of the EFF, and on Tuesday we can then look at it as a committee and then deliberate on those proposals, Chair.
Thank you very much. So there's been no opposition to us taking the report as read, so if you can jump to the conclusions and let us work through that. Thank you.
Brilliant, Chair. I'll ask Margaret to just say the concluding remarks of the ANC chair, and then we just received, as the meeting started, the concluding remarks of the Democratic Alliance. So we didn't have a look at it in some procedural processes, but if Margaret can share the...
I sent it before 8:30, not when the meeting started.
No, I only received it. There are some challenges with emails. I only received it as we were speaking. I received it, yeah. There were some challenges with emails. So
I can confirm that there is a problem with the Parliament's emails. I'm sure all members have received the notifications that the mails are not delivered. Okay.
Yeah. No problem, Chair. Chair, thank you. If we take the matter, we will go through the first concluding remark proposed by the African National Congress, Chair. Mm-hmm. It's on the screen. Will I read through it, Chair?
Yes, please. Let's go one by one.
No problem, Chair. Okay. The committee welcomed the positive impact of the investment pledges made since 2018 as a result of the investment drive initiated by President Ramaphosa, with the completion of a number of projects such as the investment by Mercedes-Benz and SAPI. It would appear that the initial goal to raise 1.2 trillion investment over 5 years would most likely be exceeded, with 1.1 trillion investment pledged today. The commitment by the DTIC to link investment pledges to actual investment projects is appreciated. However, it is critical that the pledges translate into actual investment and jobs created, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we see if there's any discussion, or I'll just see if there are hands, otherwise you can proceed. Proceed.
Thank you, Chair.
This is still a work in progress. Honourable Twaku.
Sorry, Chair. I wanted to check, Chair. On the last sentence, it says that the actual pledges and transit into actual investment. So does it mean that these pledges have not translated into investment and jobs now? That's a clarity, I think.
ANC?
Chairperson, thanks. I think we're in an agreement with bullet number one. Hence, that is why we have pledged as a proposal that we acknowledge the pledges made to the Presidential Investment Committee. Thanks.
I think the emphasis on a point, yes. Okay, you can proceed.
So the committee is of the view that both public and private sector investment is critical to drive the development of a country's economy and contribute to economic growth. Furthermore, investment by the public sector is essential as it promotes and facilitates economic growth through the creation, expansion and upgrading of public infrastructure. Therefore, the committee welcomes investment by government through its public sector entities that will contribute to the expansion and growth of the economy, thereby creating significant job opportunities.
So, Chair.
Chair, Dr. Twaku has raised his hand.
Oh, no, he didn't raise his hand. He's applauding.
No, no, I didn't applaud.
He was clapping hands, yes.
No, so, no, Chair, I wanted to ask, how are these concluding remarks, how are we going to frame them? Are we going to frame these as our conclusions for the committee? I'm just interested in you. So you'll take the conclusions of the ANC, of the DA, and the EFF, and then combine them, and how this thing is going to happen?
Yes, that's what will happen. But we will discuss with the committee, and we will agree on every point. So if there is something that the ANC has put down as the concluding remarks that you don't agree to, you can raise your objection to it. Similarly, with the other parties also, we're going to go through their conclusions also one by one.
Oh, okay.
As a committee, yes.
I think I'm going to disagree in point number two. I believe in more public sector investment critical to drive development more than the private sector. But I see that the investment public sector is essential, okay. Yeah. But yeah, okay.
Okay, thank you. Number three.
Chair, number three. We can just go up, Marvel. Notwithstanding the cost of the pandemic and the Russian-Ukraine war, among other recent global phenomena, the South African economy has been buffered by the pockets of industrial resilience that emerged during this time. The committee was of the view that the localization policy insisted on companies being able to expand their operations in this regard. The committee welcomed the fact that since 2019, localization focused on strategic industry defined by the capacity to be labor-absorbing providers of critical goods or significant export earners. This demonstrated the need to intensify localization to circumvent the over-reliance on imports and to create additional economic opportunities for SMEs.
I see the hand of Honorable Twaku. It's still raised from the previous time. And then, okay, you took it down. Then Honorable Carter.
Thanks very much, Chair. I think that the DA's opposition to state-led localization is well known, and we can't agree with this particular concluding remark on a principled basis, so please register our vote against this particular one, or rather our, dissent towards it. Thank you.
Okay, Chair. That will be captured in the minutes, Chair.
Thank you. Number four.
Furthermore, the committee is encouraged by the DDIC's efforts to reduce red tape and eliminate corruption and the maladministration of projects, as this will improve the ease of doing business and ensure resource allocation efficiency to facilitate new entrants into the market and to promote economic growth and job creation.
Members, Honorable Cuthbert, is that a legacy hand or you? I have another comment to make.
Chair, that was a legacy hand. My apologies.
Okay, great.
Chair, I'll proceed, Chair. The committee remained concerned of the economic impact of ongoing load shedding on the manufacturing sector. It welcomed the DTRC support to contribute the government's initiative to address the energy crisis, in particular the recent financial support to companies manufacturing components for renewable energy supply.
Members? I don't see any hands. Number six.
The revitalization of industrial parks is of vital importance to the committee as it views the development of industrial parks as a key vehicle to promote and develop local and rural economies. However, there is a need to effectively maintain the infrastructure and allocate appropriate human and sufficient financial resources to ensure that they are able to attract and obtain investment, including financial incentives for SMEs investing in these parks. This requires a coordinated drive among national, provincial and local governments with a particular focus on underdeveloped rural provinces.
Members? No hands. Number seven.
Furthermore, the committee also welcomed a policy review underway on the role of the private sector in the ownership, management and operation of industrial parks, as this may improve the effectiveness of the industrial parks.
No hands.
Swako
unmuted, yes. Honorable Swako.
Yes. What is that clause number seven say again? Coming to welcome the policy review. Sorry, can someone explain that?
Chair, if I may, Chair. The ministers in response were indicating that there is a discussion of the role of the private sector with regard to ownership and management of industrial parks. So it's a policy discussion that's still underway, and and the minister will report to the committee in the future to the outcome of this process, Chair. Because currently, industrial parks is there's no private sector ownership at all in this. If Margot or Tukwanda wants to add to that, Chair.
Any additions from the team?
No, Chair. On this covered as well, I believe.
Okay.
Okay.
Mrs. Mantelani? Did you want to add?
Sorry, Chair, I'm muted as Margot was unmuting as well. Wanted to say the same thing. I think Andrew has explained it well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Dr. Twaku, I see your mic is still on.
Oh, yeah, no, Chair, I was just saying that, well, for me, I don't think that the thing that the policy is that we think that the state-led development and driving of the industrial park is key, because we know that the private sector, only what they do, they want to do profits. It's more about profits, and then unlikely that they will massively contribute on the job creation. But fine, the review can happen, but in terms of really supporting the private sector to be the main drivers, it's not the policy of the EFF, okay?
Okay.
But just register what is our agreement on that.
Okay.
Chair, it will be noted in the minutes, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Shall I proceed to number eight, Chair?
Yes.
The committee welcomed the progress made with regard to the auto green paper and acknowledged the need to source funding for the implementation of this proposed policy. The completion of the process in the view of the committee is critical to position South Africa's automotive manufacturing sector to remain sustainable given the transition into the electromobility solutions and technology.
Any hands from members on that point? No hands. You may proceed.
Chair, the committee encouraged the DTIC to finalize the draft policy proposals on measures to restrict and regulate trade in ferrous and non-ferrous metals waste, scrap and semi-finished ferrous and non-ferrous metal products to limit damage to infrastructure and the economy to ensure certainty for the upstream and downstream industries. pick up this chair, raise his hand.
Just as a word of credit, I think this is a very well-crafted concluding remark, and I agree with this one. I don't think it holds a particular position, but I think it does, communicate the urgency with which this matter needs to be finalised. So I think that's a step, or shall I say, a stamp of approval from myself.
Okay, thank you very much. Next,
the committee welcomed the establishment of the quick response team comprising officials from the Chinese embassy, the DTIC, SARS and ITAC to address illegal imports from China, as this eroded domestic economic opportunities and the reindustrialization efforts, as well as slowing down socioeconomic improvements among the poor. Furthermore, the committee applauded the efforts by the DTIC that secured the reopening of the Chinese market to South African oysters.
Thank you. Any hands? No hands. Next point.
The committee supported the position that AGOA should be extended beyond 2025 and encouraged the minister to secure South Africa's inclusion in any extension of AGOA.
Thank you. Any hands? No hands. Agreed to.
The committee was concerned about the high levels of economic concentration in the economy, which is an impediment to structural transformation. In particular, it had been concerned about economic concentration in the real estate sector and encouraged the Competition Commission to consider whether there is a need to initiate a market inquiry in this regard.
No hands?
No hands, Chair?
Sorry, my hand, I struggled to
put
my hand up in that. Can you just go back to the concluding remark, please, Andre?
It's number 12. Shall I repeat it?
Yes,
yeah,
please,
Andre. I can see it.
Just go down, Margo, so that we can see it. There we go.
There we go. 12.
Number 11.
Oh, no, 11 I'm comfortable with. I thought Andre had moved up to 12.
Oh, I think you were there, Andre.
It was 12, Chair. It was 12.
Yeah,
there.
Okay.
Chair, I think, personally, we must be very cautious about, over-regulating from a competition perspective and from a competition commission perspective, purely because there's been a number of instances where I personally believe that the Competition Commission have misused the public interest clause in their legislation to overreach. So I would pose my opposition to this one if it can be registered as such, please.
Thank you very much. Duly noted. Number 13.
Thank you, Chair. The committee welcomed the proposed shift in broad based black economic empowerment to focus on the empowerment of all workers and on black industrialists. It also recognized the need to place a greater emphasis on merit for strategic positions while growing the requisite technical skills and capabilities of all South Africans.
Thank you. No hands. Okay, next point.
The committee urged the minister to expedite the appointment process for the Director General of the DTIC and the Commissioner of ITAC.
Sorry, Chair, I'm seeming to have a little bit of an issue with raising my hand.
Okay, but you can just unmute, Honourable Cuthbert. I will see that you unmute it. That's fine.
Sure. Just with regards to number 13, Chair, I mean, I think it's quite clear that we believe, in empowerment based on poverty and means testing as opposed to race. So we will be opposed to that particular 13 as a concluding remark.
Thank you very much. Noted, Honourable Mulda.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Just for clarity purposes, I'm not quite sure what actually is meant by 13. If we read the committee welcome the proposed shift in broad-based black economic empowerment to focus on the empowerment of all workers, isn't that a contradiction? and on black industrialists. It also recognized the need to place a greater emphasis on merit for strategic positions, which I support, while growing the requisite technical skills. I'm not sure how the first two sentences of 13 could be understood. Isn't it in contradiction with each other, the two sentences? Because on the one hand, it says it's a shift in broad-based black economic empowerment, and on the other hand, it says it's focusing on the empowerment of all workers. I just want to clarify that. Thank you.
Okay, I see quite a few hands. Honorable Burns Ngamashi.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I think the issue here is about ensuring that the broad-based character of the redress achieves the intended outcome. But the question that I have from concerns expressed by Honorable Casper, does he acknowledge the fact that we emerge from a history of black people who by law were excluded from participating in the mainstream economy, and thus as part of creating an inclusive economy, which is a critical component of the transformational imperatives, these policies had to be put in place, and they are still relevant because the economy is still largely in the hands of white minority. Is he having a problem with that? Thank you.
Thank you. That is the ANC's response, Honorable Thring.
Chair, no, thank you. I think that my reading of this is, and that would also need to be clarified, my reading of this, and the reason why I kept quiet is it was welcoming. As the ACDP, we would welcome a shift in broad-based black economic empowerment. And that shift would then be to focus on the empowerment of all workers, which would include black industrialists, because black industrialists would be included in the all. So, but that all focuses also on the other groups. And then it goes on, it also speaks about recognizing the need to place a greater emphasis on merit for strategic positions, which clearly, I think if one looks at the Eskom saga and the Eskom as an example, there's now a recognition that merit is actually needed for key state programs and initiatives. So if I read it in that way, that there's now a shift from the previous broad-based black economic empowerment to one that is now going to be more inclusive. And by being inclusive, after 28 years of democracy in South Africa, one would think, and that's been our argument. As the ACDP, we've had a sunset clause where initially we supported the policies of affirmative action, broad-based black economic empowerment, because we recognized the injustices of the past. But what we said as the ACDP, it cannot be in perpetuity. It cannot be forever. That then would just be a reversal of apartheid. So that's been our view. So if I'm wrong in terms of how I'm interpreting this, then I would like to be informed, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Cuthbert.
Thanks very much, Chair. I mean, we're giving short responses to the proposed concluding remarks, just by virtue of the feature that there are several that we need to get through, but maybe just to expand on my opposition to it. If the recommendation had read, the committee welcomed the proposed shift in the focus on empowerment of all workers, and that's where the sentence stopped, I wouldn't necessarily have an issue with it, and well said, you know, recognizing merit. However, this seems to try and take two, you know, competing schools of thought and mix them into something that's, you know, a compromise in a way that, you know, makes it very unclear, and I think it leaves it very vague. And I think that it's a very good point that was raised by the Honourable Milder in terms of you have two competing ideas in the same sentence, possibly in the attempt to appease everyone, but it's not something that, you know, when it's got specific, you know, racial categorizations linked to it, you know, makes it palatable in light of our view that we hold. I don't think that we're going to get into any intense debate today, but if Honourable Burns would like me to send him a copy of our social justice and economic justice policy to explain our position on it, I'm more than welcome, or he's more than welcome to it. And also to explain to him, which I think our leader in the House did in a question to the President last week, to say that there's no one who denies the, you know, disadvantages and the, you know, total pain that people, particularly of colour, had to go through during apartheid. However, trying to, you know, address this through race-based means, you know, has not been successful thus far over the past 30 or so years. And we need to look at a mechanism that's able to lift people out of poverty, put them into jobs, and create a better life for all. But if Honourable Burns would like to discuss it further, we can definitely take it off lunch.
Okay. I'm sure he'll take you up on that invitation. Honourable Tswaku, I think the committee secretariat is noting all the input from the various political parties. Honourable Tswaku?
No, thank you very much, Chair. Okay, point 13 makes sense. We are for the workers, working class, and blacks in particular. We must not sugarcoat this thing. We came to an aggressive past where black people were excluded. And my honourable member there must appreciate that and know it. We came to a brutal, terrible history, and we're still suffering even on this day because the economy of this country is on the hands of the few, the 10% few, and the majority of black people. They know their economy and the land is still not with them. So we need to push this thing. I like the fact that now it must be, you know, more for the workers, not for the some black elite that will be contribute, like, you know, that will benefit onto this thing. Maybe it was a mistake that was done before in terms of really concentrating on these managerial components of PE and all of stuff like that. We know this thing, Chair, because I see some of my friends, you know, my white friends, actually they don't know this thing that even those who are educated, we come from the private sector, Chairperson, and we know what we're talking about. If these affirmative actions and all these laws were not there, we're not going to be promoted. Because the white people, they are promoting themselves there. We know it, we lived it. And just that the reality that they don't want to accept. And even our friends, we studied, I mean, after these riots and all of that, we finished our schools in the West Coast. We don't have any problem. These are our friends. We were sleeping in the houses, and these are our best friends that we know. But the fact of the matter is that these injustices, they seem not to appreciate and know about it because it's a hush-hush. So my colleague there, Mr. Honorable, Cuthbert, it's a reality that the black still needs to be empowered. We still need our land. We still need the economy to be in their hands, you know, to be distributed. Even this what I've been fighting into this community that we are pussyfooting around issues at times. We just need to go and ensure that the economy of this country is actually showing the demographics of this country. Currently, it's not. So even these things that now we are hearing that this baby this economy empowerment of the black people must stop. But what is that? They want to change. So, I mean, I believe that we should. Race still plays a role in, because we are poor because we're black that time. We were actually segregated, or we were disadvantaged because of the color of our skin. The problem was the color of our skin. And for years, 300 and something plus years, we were disadvantaged. There was a job reservation for a long time. Even they built when a chair, what you call the state-owned entities like Abu Sasol, Abu Nexa, you know them, Dinel and all of that. Those were built so that they can actually empower the white Afrikaner. Now, if we want to do it now, and this is how we say, we must have a state-led approach in terms of industrialization and development of the black colors and all of that, all those with disadvantage. Now, no, private sector. No, it cannot be like that. I think that it's fine that close as it is. I appreciate the all the workers. Remember also, Chair, that we should also empower white females. Because white females are not, also they actually been disadvantaged because you had white males, which are the captains of the industries. So white women, we must also maybe even include them in terms of, they also need to be empowered into this. Maybe not but in particular, and the main focus would be blacks, but we know that also white women, disadvantaged in terms of ownership or maybe to be in the strategic positions of the economy as well. No, thank you very much. That is my input.
Okay, it's two more hands, Honorable Malamacha and then Honorable Cuthbert. Honorable Malamacha.
Thank you, Chair. I think we must not make mistakes of pretending not to understand what it is that we are trying to address. The very same intended black industrialist, we haven't arrived to a number that can satisfy and justify why are we in power. We are in power through the process of democracy where majority are voted in. They can at any given time implement any policy without backing those who are left out. Now, because we are in a true democratic South Africa where we are trying to accommodate each other, by accommodating, we must not forget that there is a bigger agenda that we need to deal with it, where there was injustice, where the economy was in the hands of the few who are still even today not necessarily willing to share. And until we share equally, there's no way we are not going to blame the outgone apartheid that we are only 30 years in power. Now, time and again, we want to know who are the architects and the owners of this apartheid. And everybody, including the DA, they are saying, no, apartheid is not our policy. We were not there. We never implemented our apartheid policies. But when we want to deal with apartheid, it's like they are defenders of apartheid. People, we've failed it. We know how deep is it. And we even now feeling the impact of that apartheid. So allow us to exercise what we think it will assist. And it's true. Not to say all of the whites enjoyed the apartheid or benefited in the apartheid. Yes, there are those who never benefited. And when we deal with our policy, it covers everybody. So that we will be scared that if we are to debate deeper, it's like it will reveal other things. No, actually what we want the architect of apartheid to come up so that we are able to question that, can you see what we have done to our lives? We can't if perhaps we are going to massage history, but comrade must be ready to accept that we are doing little to try and accommodate everybody in South Africa and stop politicizing other things. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Cuthbert and Honorable Mulder.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I appreciate the attempts by the members to lecture me. However, I am myself a student of political science, history, public policy, so I'm well versed in what happened, and I acknowledge what happened in the past, and I do think it should be redressed, as I said earlier. However, what would have maybe been a more authentic concluding remark coming from the ANC would to be that we do support race-based policy and black economic empowerment, and the DA, you know, from a practical level, would have opposed that particular concluding remark, as I have with others that have come before, and then it wouldn't have gone into debate. But it seems that there's an attempt to posture by members, and if that's what they want to do, then they're welcome to do so. And no matter how much they say it, they're not going to change my mind in the sense that I believe that we should have needs-based empowerment and that it must be far broader than what the current system allows for, which is to enrich, you know, the elite at the expense of the poor. So, I mean, fine and well that we can posture here, and I'm not sure if there's any media on the meeting this morning or watching in. However, that's not going to change my view. I think we can simply move on, register the DA's opposition to this, and it will be detailed in the minutes why that is the case, and then we can get on with the business of the meeting.
Thank you very much. I think Honourable Mbuyani's hand will be the last hand I'll take. We note the comments by the...
I also raised the hand, Chair.
Yes, I see.
I'm not sure whether...
Mbuyani's hand came up after yours. I was saying, let's make that the last hand. I see Honourable Mulder took his hand down because I'm saying that we will note the comments in summary of all the political parties on this point. Honourable Namashe.
Honourable Chair, sorry, I only removed my hand because you...
Oh, I acknowledge it. Okay, so first Honourable Mulder, and then Honourable Burns Namashe, and then Honourable Mbuyani. Honourable Mulder.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thanks for the opportunity. I think we should all be... be very patient about this whole situation. What I actually raised was the fact that there was two contradictory comments made in paragraph 13, and that's actually the main issue. Two questions or issues that actually contradict each other, and Cuthbert also acknowledged that and pointed it out. So I think it's important that we just rectify that paragraph, because as it stands there, it actually is a contradiction. I think we should be careful to get involved in conversation of the past and the future, because the Freedom Front Plus believes that the only way in which people could be empowered is if we grow the economy, and we should grow the economy in the best way that possibly makes business sense, without any political intervention. That's the only way that the economy will grow and that people will really be empowered. We're not going to talk about state capture and all the trillions that's been lost there and all the people who could have been empowered, et cetera, et cetera. That's not what paragraph 13 is about. It's about the fact that there is contradiction in two thoughts. In the one sense is that the shift in broad-based black economic empowerment to focus on the empowerment of all and on black industrialists, and on the other side then greater emphasis on merit. We should really rephrase it, as Honorable Cuthbert said, put it the one way or the other way, and if a certain party doesn't agree, then we could oppose it. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you. Taking note that these are the conclusions of the African National Congress, I think we note your statement, but unless the ANC agrees to change it, I think that is how it stands. I mean, the Freedom Front Plus would be welcome to submit a conclusion also. Honourable Burns Namashe.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. And honorable members, you know, sometimes, honorable chairperson, we prefer to be accommodative to our own detriment, such that at times, even during debate in the House, you can witness the level of arrogance and impunity with which black people of South Africa are treated. I don't think, Chair, it's something that we must tolerate forever. This attitude of condescending and gaslighting is not acceptable. The kind of history from which we emerge, maybe Honorable Cuthbert may not be sensitive to that because of his age. We know exactly what it means to be under a white rule in an apartheid system. So I want to urge very seriously that our colleagues who are interested in building an inclusive economy, who are committed to the spirit of reconciliation, must count what they say. They must really count what they say. It's very important. When we say we want an inclusive economy, it is because we want to address the past injustices that were inflicted by their own people against our own forebears. So that is the reality. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. It is the fact. So, Chair, please, we must not be pushed too much. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mbuyane.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. I think, Chair, on this one, we have to put it clear, because this is the concluding remarks for the ANC. All parties were given a space to submit, but the parties chooses not to submit their concluding remarks and come here, they want to grandstand about our past. And now what we're saying as an ANC, BBB is our policy. And now we're shifting the focus to empower the workers, because they're the one that they're building this economy, that those beneficiaries of the past, they are now celebrating. They don't want us to transform the economy so that it's inclusive, so that anyone in South Africa who is working for this economy should benefit. They want us to remain on that legacy of apartheid that we cannot do. So as an ANC, we are saying we want to empower all workers as part of the BBB proposal, and also black industrialists, so that they form part of the inclusive economy of the South African. And also, Chair, coming here and grandstand about the science and so forth, it cannot assist us here. That is what we submit as an ANC. If you want to submit as the EFF Plus, you will submit and DA. So that when we deal with these issues of consideration, we'll therefore discuss and look at each other as proposal in terms of this matter. But coming here and want us to relinquish our policies, it's not going to assist us. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity.
Honorable Mbuyane, it's FF Plus, not ESF Plus. Please, man.
Honorable Cuthbert, I wanted to close off with Honorable Mbuyane. I see your hand is up.
If I may, just a short input, Chair. I really think, and I don't want to lecture to another caucus on the committee, but if they just allowed the whip to actually speak first, it would make life so much easier. I think he's very right in saying it's an ANC recommendation. If other parties wanted to put concluding remarks, like the DA did, I put my concluding remarks. I'm sure we'll discuss those later on. But if we are opposed to it, let us you know, register our vote against it, and then we can move on with the business. But we had to, you know, be subjected to soliloquies by Honourable Burns and Honourable Malamecha. If they just deferred to the whip and allowed the whip to actually handle this, I think we would have actually saved ourselves the debate. I think all our views on these matters are very well established. We ventilated them in the briefing we had with the minister last week. And I think we're dealing, you know, with some procedural business here. So let's get moving with the business of that.
Thank you. But every member has a right, Honourable Custer, to make their voice heard. But we take your point. Can we move on now to number 14?
Thank you, Chair. The committee urged the minister to expedite. We've completed this also, but I'll repeat it, Chair. To expedite the appointment process, sorry, for the Director General of the DTIC and the Commissioner of ITAC.
Yeah, we've dealt with this one. Yeah. So at number 15 now.
Yeah. The committee welcomed the progress made in the forensic investigation initiated.
Okay,
by
just hold on. I see Honourable Cuthbert's hand. Is that on 14, Honourable Cuthbert?
Yes, it is, Chair.
Okay.
Okay, just to say, and look here, a little bit of compromise to my ANC colleagues. We submitted a similar as a recommendation. I'm not sure if it's better placed as a recommendation or a concluding remark, and I'll just ask the Secretary to assist with that. But I'm quite happy for us to forego our one in that respect, and then for us to stick with 14, because it pretty much covers the same point.
Chair, I had a quick look at the GIA's proposals, Chair. It's best placed as a concluding remark, Chair, and it's a similar, I think you will probably concur with 14 as
yeah.
Put it.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we can move on to 15.
Chair, the committee welcomed the progress made in the forensic investigation initiated by the minister and the SIU into allegations of corruptions and maladministration involving the NLC. It also welcomed the preservation orders obtained by the SIU in an attempt to recover the stolen funds that has been meant for the upliftment of the poor. The committee was encouraged by the significant changes underway at the NLC and welcomed the appointment of the new chairperson, Dr. Kiana, and other board members who have a strong governance record.
I don't see any hands. Oh, there's a hand from Dr. Tswaku and Honourable Cuthbert.
Chair? I wanted to check, man. I put in an input there on that point, on the forensic investigation on the SIU, to say that we had some reservations because they were acting on the reports that were not sent to the president and finalized, and they were still ongoing. So I don't know about how can I... Like, you know, because I had some reservations in terms of, because we wanted them to finish this report, get signed by the president, and then start, like, you know, to act. Yeah, so I don't know how can I craft it into this. That was the reservation I had in terms of this, on that. Those are the reservations I had. I was not pleased in terms of them just, you know, going after people without finalizing a report, because finalization means that it's concluded. And also there were some people that were never, the people actually who were implicated on those reports, they're not been given a chance to come and account. So I had a problem. I reserved this clause there. I have some reservation on it. But of course the money must be, recovered. I agree for the upliftment of the poor, and also on that other last line, the appointment of the 78-year-old, Dr. Pipichan. I mean, why would you not actually take someone that is young and new, competent and all of that? So the recycling of the old guard. So also have some reservation on that.
Your comments are noted, and you are free to make a concluding remark of the EFF and submit it, as you said you were going to do. Honourable Cuthbert.
Thanks very much, Chair. Chair, I can agree with this recommendation. Up until it says Dr. Pityana, I don't share the same concerns as Honorable Tawaki. Well, I think it's good to have young blood in an organization, being only 29 myself. I don't think that age is necessarily indicative of competence. And if you are still competent and sound of mind at that age and wanting to do a job like that instead of enjoying your life traveling, then, that is your free will to choose. However, I am still concerned about the minister's representative who has not responded to allegations that were leveled against him. Now, those need to obviously be tested. However, I think that considering the work that has been done since the new leadership as well as the executive have been appointed, that does need to be clarified before I could agree to something like that. So there's two options here. I can, approve in line with the ANC's concluding remark here, if it ends at Dr. Pityana, or just a broader statement on and leadership, but I won't agree with other board members until that allegation is cleared up by Mr. Lubisi himself.
Thank you very much. That's noted. On the next concluding remark, I think it's the last one, eh?
I think so, Chair. If you just go down. No, there's more. The committee was of the view that the absence of a permanent chief executive officer and a board contributed to the ongoing challenges facing the SABs. It was concerned that this may contribute to it not being able to strategically deliver on its mandate to develop standards in the industrial priority sector and offer compliance assurance services. Therefore, the committee urged the ministry to urgently address the appointment of members of the board.
I see no hands. Can go to number 17.
Chair, this is number 17. The committee welcomed the improvement of the NRC's audit outcome in the 2021-22 financial year to an unqualified audit with findings. This represents significant progress in addressing the challenges around estimating its levy revenue, which has resulted in qualified audit outcomes over the previous financial years.
Okay. Let's go to the Democratic Alliance.
Chair, Mr. Cuthbert and the Democratic Alliance proposed the committee did not receive an answer to request for status update on the SADC EU EPA between SA and the EU. This is concerning on this trade agreement. It is our most significant trading relationship in terms of overall rand value. And if I may, Chair, so I'll be led by Chair.
Continue. Okay, do you have a comment on the first recommendation? I mean the first concluding remark? Members?
Chair?
This is the concluding remark.
Chair, I will maybe suggest that we look at it and maybe paraphrase it and forward it back to Mr. Cuthbert if we
okay.
To ensure that the essence of what he's saying is captured. If we can go in that way like we normally do, then
okay.
We will then include it in the report. For then we can still look at it at the next meeting if Mr.
Yes.
Cuthbert is fine with that.
Honorable Cuthbert.
I'm happy for the Secretariat to do that, Chair. I just want to raise one issue related to this concluding remark. And this is the fact that you will see on the draft report we received this morning, it's highlighted because we did not receive a response to that question. And I think that we've raised it at an earlier stage as well, and this is maybe a bit of programming business, but indulge me if you will. I do think it's important that the Trade Directorate come and brief the committee on this issue and explain to us exactly what has happened, because the information that I have is that there's not been much progress on this between the two parties, and I think that it's important that this is finalized considering the economic impact that it may have.
No, that's fine, and it seems like there's no opposition to that, so we'll let the committee secretariat check the wording and how we'll place it then under the concluding remarks. Next one.
Chair, we addressed number two already in terms of one of the ANC, his comment there, Chair, then his recommendations, Chair. I will also, if you can just go right straight more down, Margot. I think there's more than one. Chair, there's a recommendation that the department must develop a strategy and implementation plan which allows for better use of the tariff line concessions contained with a AGOA agreement in order to complement the high trade volume in the automotive sector. Department should look at ways of expanding agricultural exports to the US market. Chair, I will also request that we look at that to see if there's procedural order in terms of recommendations and propose a redraft if Mr. Cuthbert is okay with that. Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I'm happy with that. I just want to also add one substantiating point to this. It is just to say that if you look at what we benefit from AGOA, the top five tariff lines that are used are all automotive exports, and there's a lot of underutilization of other tariff concessions that we have. And if we were going to lobby to have this agreement extended and for our inclusion in it, then I think that our economic strategy needs to be geared in part towards making sure that we maximize the use of all of those tariff line concessions. Otherwise, we've agreed upon an agreement that we are not taking full advantage of. And I think that's in every party's interest to want to achieve that.
Yeah, I don't think there can be opposition to that point. That's fine.
Chair, and then the second one, Chair, if I may
say,
Chair.
Sorry, okay.
Dr. Parker? No, I wanted to check my chair. That, I was not maybe trying to put a point there that there must be a renegotiation of these low tariffs that we put at some point there. Because those high tariffs, if we could negotiate these tariffs and put them a bit higher so that that will actually scientifically stimulate what you want to achieve in number two, which is the localization of the economy. Should we not maybe not number one, they say that we try and renegotiate those tariff lines that were agreed upon 1994 and relook at them so that we're able to stimulate localization.
Sorry, that's the Democratic Alliance input. So we'll note what you are saying as EFF on the Democratic Alliance input.
Chair, Mr. Sheldon.
Chair, I just want to clarify. AGOA is a legislation by the U.S. administration. So these tariff line concessions that Mr. Cuthbert and the DA is referring to is into the U.S. It's not on our side. It's us exporting to them. So what we pay when we export to them or when they import from us. So it's not that it is implemented on our side, as far as I understand.
It's not imports.
No, so it would be our exports to the US and how much we pay for those when we export to them.
Oh, okay. It must be lower then. Thanks.
Okay. Honorable Cuthbert, did you want to say something?
See, I must say, for Honorable Tswaku, or Dr. Honorable Tswaku, however you would like to be referred to, who is a natural scientist, I think, of note, by virtue of his PhD, I think that speaks for itself. What he said from an economic sciences point of view is not very scientific. I think Margot has explained it in part, and a number of these tariff line concessions imply that we land goods there, at a minimal rate or for nothing. And when you have an agreement like this with the USA or with the SADC EU EPA, for example, a number of them contain what they call developmental concessions. So it implies because they are a more developed economy than what we are, we get more out of the deal because they understand our need to stimulate the economy, grow our economy in order to be able to become competitive. So, yeah. It is a piece of legislation that is voted upon by Congress and not necessarily a trade agreement. However, we would have an agreement as a part of being participants in the program. And we are obviously reliant on the fact that the Congress that will decide upon this in 2025 will need to vote in favour. It's not necessarily a trade negotiation tool that we can necessarily negotiate over, like, you know, the SADC easily before.
Thank you, Honourable Cuthbert. You want to follow up, Honourable Tswaku?
Yes, Chair. No, anything that is going to lower the, if we import to them, they are going to, it is going to be on our side in terms of that. Then I welcome it. It's fine. It must, they must not charge us a lot when we import, sorry, man, when we export, because we want to export to them. So they must not make that those export rates to be very high, whatever that AGOA is. And so, okay, that's fine. I'm happy with that. So.
Okay, thank you. Number two.
Number two, the department should provide the committee with the quarterly metrics of the impact of localization on the economy, i.e. contribution to GDP, impact on prices and jobs created as a result of this policy choice. Chair, I think the similar principle will apply, Chair, because we need to look at whether these are recommendations or is best suited for as concluding remarks, and we will advise accordingly, Chair.
Okay, so you'll check the procedural parameters.
Yeah.
Honourable Cuthbert?
Chair, I'm partially happy with that. However, what I do believe is that it was an admission made by the Minister when I asked him the question last week, and it's purely with relation to the data that we are provided with as a committee. I think if we put it in as a recommendation, it's more binding in the sense that they would then have to, on a quarterly basis, make sure that all of that information is collated through the Economic Research Unit and provided to members, because I just think it gives us a better idea of whether or not an actual policy is successful. So I would like to keep that particularly as a recommendation, because I think it's an action step that needs to be taken by the department, and I think we are well within our rights as a committee to request that of the minister and for him to consider it as a recommendation from the committee.
Thank you. Can we allow
the
secretariat to look at the procedural aspects? Committee secretary?
Chair, just in light of that, we will look at it because there are procedural processes regarding recommendation, Chair, and we will advise accordingly, Chair, regarding that. And the committee will then have to decide on the way forward regarding that, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much. So that concludes inputs received so far. We'll await the recommendations or concluding remarks from other parties before we look at the formal adoption of the report next Tuesday. Thank you. Can we go to the next agenda item?
Chair, just to complete your process, Chair, is that we will capture the recommendations and concluding remarks of the EFF and after consultation with Mr. Cuthbert, the other matters in the cleaner version of the report, Chair. And that report, we will assume members will take it to the respective caucuses on Thursday, and then the committee will conclude its business on the report next Tuesday morning, Chair. Thank you.
Do we know when it's serving in the House?
Chair, I checked the order, which is not order paper, the program that didn't indicate specifically that it's on this particular day. Hopefully at Thursday's meeting, the program committee may then indicate which committee will debate on which day, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you. Honourable Cuthbert.
Thanks, Chair. The first issue being obviously that we reserve our right, to take a position on the report until we've discussed it in our caucus, just to have that recorded, please. And then the second issue is, and through you, Chair, if I may, to the whip of the ANC, everything that we had discussed from the ANC submission, was that merely concluding remarks? Or were there recommendations there? Because I didn't see a separation between the two. And if they were just concluding remarks, can we be expecting recommendations forthcoming from the ANC, or is that not something that they are considering at this stage?
Honourable Mbuyane?
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think for now we submitted the concluding remarks as an ANC, and we are fine with it. If yes, we still need to submit, we concluding, I mean, recommendation. We can do that because we still have two recommendations that were submitted by the opposition. So in the process, that means we have to at least have recommendations as well that will be clouded with those that were submitted by the opposition. Thanks.
It will be put together. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
We will proceed with outstanding minutes of September of last quarter, Chair. If you can, Morgan can flag those, Chair. I think at the last meeting, just before the recess, we finished at the 6th of September, so we will look at 7th September now. This is where we have the briefing by the DTIC, the IDC, and the NEF on the funding application and adjudication processes, as well as on the aftercare services, Chair. If we go down, Margot. Chair, we have all those in. It is just the introductory section, Chair, and followed by the briefing by the IDC, DTIC, INEF on the funding application and the issues captured by those by members are captured in under point 2. Mark, let me just go down. As indicated, these are the issue points raised by members and from 2.4 downwards, Chair. Now we can just go down. It's quite a number of issues. The committee resolved that the TI should submit in writing the update and justification for the NAF CEO salary and bonus and for IDC to submit a written response in relation to the funding of school metals. Then we dealt with committee business. The committee requested we submit names of possible experts to facilitate the workshop industrial policy. Committee informed that the EF has submitted names for consideration. It was Professor Bond, Professor Malakani. Chairperson Indicate members should submit names for management committee's consideration. The meeting adjourned at 12:25 until Tuesday the 13th of September. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, members. Can we have a move and a second for the adoption of these minutes of the 7th of September? Please.
Ms. Mwatse, Chair.
Honorable Mwatse.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I move for adoption of the minutes.
Thank you very much, Honorable Motaung.
Chair, I second the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you very much. So the minutes are duly adopted as a true reflection of the meeting of the 7th of September. Next minute.
Chair, next minute, I think is the 13th of September, Chair. Chair, the agenda for that day was a briefing by the DTIC on the status of implementing the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Act, National Credit Amendment Act, and the Protection of Investment Act and the Legal Metrology Act. We also received a briefing by the DTIC on the status of the review process with regard to the Consumer Protection Act and the National Gambling Act. Chair, if we go down. We have an apology during the time from you, Chair. So the meeting was chaired by Mr. Mbiani. Chair, this introductory on number one. Number two speaks to the briefing by the department and the details on the status of the legislation. The minister led that discussion. Deputy Minister Majola led that briefing. Then it was followed by Dr. Masocha, who proceeded to speak on the Consumer Protection Act and the National Gambling Act, which was followed by deliberations. If you go down at column 4, and then the meeting adjourned at 11:42 until Wednesday, the 27th of September. Chair, thanks.
Thank you very much. Can we have a move and a seconder for the adoption of these minutes of the 13th of September? Members?
Ms. Mohatse, Chair.
Honorable Mohatse.
I move adoption of the said minutes.
Thank you. Can we have a seconder for the adoption of the minutes? Members, can we have a seconder for the adoption of the minutes?
Ms. Mbuyani, Chair.
Honorable Mbuyani.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I second that we adopt the said minutes. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The minutes of the 13th of September are duly adopted. Can we have the next set of minutes?
Chair, the next set of minutes is on Wednesday, the 21st of September, Chair. We received a briefing by the Limpopo Economic Development Agency on the development and plans for the Shisheho and Nkongwankowa Industrial Parks, and briefing by the Limpopo Department of Economic Development and Environment and Tourism on development and plans for the Musina Makgado Special Economic Zone, Chair. We had apologies from yourself and Mr. McPherson during this period, Chair. Then number one is introductory input, Chair. Going to number two was a briefing by Mr. Makana and Mr. Makuba by the Limpopo Development Agency on the development of the industrial park, which was followed by the Limpopo Department of Economic Development, Environment and Tourism on the development and plans for the Musina Makgado SEZ. And that was also led by Mr. Makona, Mr. Masoha, and Mr. Lokota. In addition, Mr. Kopong also put to brief the committee on the Petakoma and Tubatse SEZ. That is followed by deliberations. If you go down, which is Captain Point 4, the committee business, that we made an announcement that the Rules Committee has agreed to the name change for the committee. It was captured in the ATC of the 8th of September. We are now formally known as Trade, Industry and Competition, PC on Trade. The committee meeting adjourned at 11:52 until the 27th of September, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you. Can we have a move and a second for the adoption of the minutes of the 21st of September? Honorable Motaung.
Thanks, Chair. I move for adoption of the said minutes.
Thank you very much, Honorable Motaung. Can we have a second for the adoption of the minutes, please? Honorable Moatse.
Thank you, Chairperson. I second the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you very much. The minutes are duly adopted of the 21st of September. Next set of minutes.
Chair, the next set of minutes is the 27th of September, Chair. The agenda item here was introduced to the Chairperson of the Board of the NLC as well as new members of the Board. We also received a briefing by the SIU on the investigation delegations of maladministration and corruption at the NLC, and we received a response from the DDIC and the NLC with respect to the presentation by the SIU with regard to these investigations. Chair, we go down. We heard Mr. Mbuyani was receiving an apology, Mr. Mbuyani on the day, Chair, and Mr. Mulder. The number one is just the introductory input, and then the minister introduced the new board and the NLC, followed by the SIU status report, Chair. I think we 3 and 4 is just speaking to the SIU and the PDRP process. If we go to deliberations, is the matter of subsidiary. We just have to unhighlight the yellow part. Then we go down, Chair. The meeting adjourned at 13:32 until 28th of September, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Mwatsi, your hand is up. Are you proposing adoption of the minutes?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I move for adoption of the minutes.
Thank you very much. Can we have a seconder? Can we have a seconder for the adoption of the minute, Honorable Mbuyani?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I second the proposal for the adoption of the said minutes. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The minutes are duly adopted.
Yeah. 28th of September, we receive a briefing by the DTIC on the implementation of and stakeholders on the implementation of the master plan for the furniture industry. We consider the fourth quarter program and consider minutes chair. If you go down.
Apologies, Chair. We had apologies of Mr. McPherson and Mr. Biani for that meeting, Chair. Chair, we were briefed by DTIC and stakeholders on the implementation on the master plan for the South African furniture industry. Briefing was led by Minister Patel and also Mr. Lunga, Mr. Dias and Mr. Van Rienden in support of the master plan. Members raised a number of issues during that process, Chair. We go down. We did the committee business where we considered the program, Chair, and we considered minutes up till the 6th of September, Chair. We go down. And the meeting concluded, I think, at 11:59 until the 11th of October.
Thank you very much, Honorable Malamacha. I saw your hand was up. Do you want to propose adoption of the minutes?
Thank you, Chair. I propose we adopt this meeting.
Thank you, Honorable Mwatse.
Thank you, Chair. I second.
Thank you very much. The minutes are duly adopted, the minutes of the 28th of September. Are there any further minutes, Committee Secretary?
Chair, not for today, Chair. Okay. We will do the other minutes in the following weeks. Thanks.
Thank you very much. So can we just ask you to take us to our next meeting before we conclude this meeting?
No problem, Chair. Our next meeting, we will consider will be brief. Just give me a minute to go to the program, Chair. By ITAC and CIPC on the 2021-22 annual report, which includes its first quarter financial and non-financial performance for the 2022-23 financial year. Chair, we have distributed the presentations yesterday already to members, so members should have the presentations for tomorrow's meeting already, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Malibu, pues. Y gama la macoscada.